let's begin, Bob, with a very sad story of a World War II veteran who was lost to COVID-19 and what went wrong with his treatment.
Yeah, so we had a story this week about a gentleman named Eugene Forty, who is 96 years old. He had survived 31 bombing missions over Europe as a ball turret gunner in World War II, went on to become a really well-known car salesman in El Paso, very well-known family overall. His brother owned Forty's Mexican Elder restaurant. So he was living at the Ambrosio Guillen State Veterans Home, a nursing home in northeast El Paso. And he became ill with COVID-19 in May, on May the 10th, was taken to Beaumont Army Medical Center and seemed to be on the road to recovery, and so was discharged and sent back to Ambrosio Guillen on May 20th, and then passed away 4 days later. His daughter, a woman named Mary Kay Dietrich, who lives in North Carolina, has been asking a number of questions about, you know, why did her father get sick? How did COVID-19 get into a nursing home in April and May, well after everybody was aware of the danger? How did it get in there, and how did it kill 12 people? There were 11 others in addition to Mr. Forty who died there. And so she'd been asking these questions and not getting much of a response. So we did some investigations, helped her along with Representative Joe Moody and Representative Veronica Escobar to get some answers to that. And those answers began appearing this week and raised a lot of really disturbing questions. The biggest issue is that the Texas Veterans Land Board, which runs the nursing home, is just refusing to answer any questions about what it did to prepare for COVID-19 in the spring. And after we published the story, the State General Land Office Commissioner, George P. Bush, who's the nephew of the former president, announced that he was calling for a change in leadership at the El Paso nursing home. But at this point, the state officials really have not answered really serious questions about what went wrong there.
Wow. On the bright side, there are some signs of some serious improvements. We want, should we say, cautious optimism?
Yes, on the COVID-19 front, for sure. Last week was the first time in 2 months that El Paso had fewer than 1,000 new COVID-19 cases. The hospitalization numbers have dropped to levels that we haven't seen since the end of June. So those are all very, very positive signs. But the health officials I talked to are really casting a nervous eye to Labor Day weekend. They're really afraid that a lot of the hard work that's been done over the last few weeks to bring these numbers down could get undone in a hurry if people start having large gatherings over the holiday weekend. So everybody's pretty upbeat right now about what we're seeing, but still really nervous with the realization that this isn't over yet, not by a long shot.
So many businesses have suffered through this pandemic, and while some are going to see some reopenings in different places, it could be quite some time before we see things get back to normal along the border.
Yeah, so the impact on the border is very unique. And so Renee Klejcik, one of our reporters, looked at businesses right near the border in both El Paso and Juarez and what's been happening. Since March, the border has essentially been closed for all but essential travel, and shopping is not considered essential travel, or popping over to the Kentucky Club for a beer in Juarez is not considered essential travel. So all of these businesses that are really close to the border that rely on that crossing back and forth traffic have really taken a hard hit, and they have not recovered. They have not really been able to reopen to the level that a lot of other businesses have. And so they're really worried that if this continues for a couple of months, if these travel restrictions stay in place, which it appears they will, many of these businesses may not survive at all. We may see a lot of them going out of business for good in September or October. So there's a lot of real concern about those businesses directly on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Seems like we have a long way to go before we really know the long-term impacts here on so many fronts.
Definitely.
All right, Bob, you can find these stories at elpasomatters.org. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.